You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to the Branding with Purpose podcast, where we interview successful entrepreneurs on how their purpose has led to an impactful personal brand. I am so excited that you joined me. I'm your host, certified digital marketing and branding expert and strategist, Santha Wetterhahn. Today's episode is sponsored by Up to Me Magazine. You can find the self-empowerment magazine at www.up2memagazine.com. Okay, today on the show, we have very special guest, Lachelle Adkins. Lachelle is a life coach with Protocol Group. Through her coaching, she helps to empower others to overcome life's obstacles. In addition to life coaching, she uses her degree in marketing from Indiana University to help small businesses increase their market share. Lachelle says that she enjoys accomplishing impossible feats because she believes that it is evidence of God working in her life and creates momentum in her life when she is faced with challenges. Her goal is to leave a lasting impression with everyone that she meets and adds value to make their lives better. Lachelle, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. I am honored to be on your show.
Oh, we are honored to have you. It is definitely a pleasure. I am excited. I just want to jump right in. I know in our pre-interview, you told me that you have 15 children. And I want to find out, you know, how's life going? So right now, people may be listening to the replay or maybe listening to this show in a different season. But right now, as we're recording, it's summer. And I know I have three, and summer can be hectic. How do you deal with summer and school being out and all that good stuff with 15 kids?
Yeah, it is definitely a job, you know, making sure that they're entertained, because when school is out, the transition begins with me entertaining them and keeping them abreast of, you know, just something to do every day. Trying to find three things to do for them is always a challenge. But, you know, we try to be creative and have family game times and, you know, just go to the park and just really create memories is really the focus, because, you know, money is something that, you know, you have to stay on the budget with a family our size. So you got to be creative with the things that you do to kind of keep them entertained.
Absolutely. And I love what you said about creating memories, because, you know, kids never look back and they never say, well, I wish my mom had a bought me this or had have taken me here. They really do look back and go, I remember that time when my mom or my dad spent this time with me, or we really had a really nice conversation. So I love what you said about creating memories. So with 15 kids, is that what led you to life coaching? Or, you know, how did you get into the life coaching space?
Yeah, actually, I have a degree with marketing through Indiana University, and that really was my passion and love, was just sales and getting products out there, increasing market share. I thought it was really a challenge. And something that I kind of did on the side always as we grew our family, you know, just with friends and family members. And my husband and I had several small businesses of our own, but I basically was a stay-home mom. And my husband worked a lot of hours in addition to being in the military. And just this recent, within the last 7 years, he became a pastor of our own church. So a lot of the time with the children was pretty much on my shoulders. And I had three different instances where I had to be hospitalized for stress. So two was for just stress in general, and one was postpartum depression. And my most recent hospitalization was in 2016. And after that hospitalization, I just had the revelation that a lot of that stress was kind of like self-inflicted. I was really trying to live up to the expectations of my children, my husband, church family, just things that I did in the community. I was very active in the kids' school. And so I just wanted to take the mask off and be more transparent. And after doing that, it was very therapeutic to just go into life coaching and help other women be empowered to realize that you can be you. And if you have some weaknesses, it's okay. It takes a village, and being able to get the help and support from people outside of your home and your friends and family, and just realizing that you don't have to always have everything perfect. So that's really how I got into life coaching.
Absolutely. I know for women, it's really hard to not, you know, have guilt, mommy guilt. I remember one day I was chatting with my mother-in-law, and I was really contemplating whether or not I wanted to leave corporate America and start my own company with really the end goal of having more time with my children. And I was feeling really guilty about it, about, you know, leaving this big salary and taking a chance and putting my family under some financial hardships for a little while until I built my business. And my mother-in-law looked at me and said, "You'll always be guilty. You'll always feel guilty as a mom. No matter what decision you make, you'll always have some guilt." And she never really provided me with a solution. She just kind of laid it out there. That guilt follows every single woman. So what would you say about that? And, you know, with your experience with having to seek medical attention, with, you know, being under stress and having to balance it all and be everything to everybody, what are some things, some advice you can give to us as listeners where we can come to terms and be at peace with those decisions we have to make?
Well, I think the first thing is knowing your own voice. Once I got out of the hospital, I realized that I was trying to be all things to everybody, and my worth, I felt, was determined by the success or failures of the roles that I had or the success or failure with my children. So when you put your worth to things that you can't control, it really is a recipe for disaster. Because, you know, as people, we're going to make mistakes. Our kids are not going to always do the thing that we feel is the right thing. And so if we put our value and worth on whether they make the right choices or not, we're going to be disappointed. And then it's just like you're on this roller coaster, up and down, up and down. And so I had to really kind of back away, look at things from another perspective, and kind of value what I thought was important. And so I wanted to think about the characteristics that I wanted to build with my kids. If it's unconditional love, well, that comes with me accepting them whether they make a good decision or bad decision. And so I had to break away from TV and social media, at some point radio, just certain things so that I could just get a clear understanding of what it was valued. And then kind of gradually introduce myself back into some of these distractions that kind of get us off focus. So I'll just take an example like cooking. I used to cook home-cooked meals on a regular basis daily, and, you know, that was just added stress. It's okay if the kids eat a hot dog and some fries, you know what I mean, even though it's at home. But I was just so structured about making sure that I, you know, do all these things, and it's like, you know, is it important for the kids to eat, or is it that they have a home-cooked meal? You know, you had to really you know, take some time to listen and figure out what really is important.
Mm-hmm. Very mm-hmm. good. Very good. My friend, I know as people, we struggle with this idea of reaching a level of perfection. I think this generation has it even, we have it even tougher than our parents because we do have social media and we can look at our friends' lives through Facebook and see, you know, things like everybody's on a vacation right now or everybody's just got a kitchen remodel or everybody's, you know, at their optimal physical health because they're posting pictures of themselves at the gym. And I actually have a friend who she's been on a year hiatus from social media because she struggled with jealousy and, you know, trying to be like other people. And she had anxiety and I would say a level of depression from just, you know, comparing herself to other people. And since she took that hiatus, she totally, her life, it changed her entire life. She's gotten more joy, more contentment out of her, you know, just where she is today. And so I think you're absolutely right, you know, taking a step back and reassessing and maybe, you know, unplugging can really help.
And I'm really glad you brought that up because, you know, a lot of times when we look at these social media posts, we're not really comparing apples to apples, you know, because we are looking at other people's highlight reel. So that's the after effect. It's not showing anything behind the scenes. We don't know what someone had to experience to do that. So a lot of tangible things, they start out as, you know, just like a farmer with the seed, and then eventually after watering and time and as it goes with the sun, then you produce a harvest. So we're looking at a harvest of other people, and we're not abreast of all the information that went into that. You know, how many times they had to be away from their kids, or if someone's doing a remodel, you know, what sacrifices they had to make financially in order to do that. So we always just see the finished product, and of course that looks good. It's like, you know, going to a store, you want to just purchase what you see. But when you're dealing with life, it's a journey. And so there's opportunity costs that you have to make in order for certain things to be a reality in your life. So just like your situation when you had to make the decision to be an entrepreneur, you had to let go of some of the comforts of having a steady income and maybe benefits. But, you know, in the end, the result that you desired, you felt that cost was worth it. You know, it may have been hard, but those are the things that people don't see. So I have a phrase that I use all the time that heroes are made in the dark. So the heroes are the people that they do the work. They do everything when nobody else is looking. It's actually in the dark. You know, you're behind the scenes, taking some time away from your kids, staying up late, waking up early, doing all this work and practicing your craft and mastering your skills. And there's a time when that work is going to pay off and people are going to see that. And, you know, that's when you become a hero. But they never really know the ins and outs until, you know, after the fact when you are able to share your successes and answer a lot of those questions for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk about goal setting a little bit. I know that's something that you help other entrepreneurs with is being able to actually, you know, number one, prioritize, because how can you actually set a goal unless you figure out what's important for you, what's important, you know, where do you want to be in terms of your goals? So let's talk about that. What's your process for setting goals, and why is it so important for us to be constantly reaching goals and setting goals?
Well, I think that goals kind of establish your destination of where you're going. And a lot of times people make the mistake of aspiring to tangible items, the goal. So there's nothing wrong with aspiring to get a new house or a car, but when you have these tangible items that are your goals, you kind of achieve them, and then you have a period sometimes of depression because you're like, what's next? Or, you know, you're always chasing after the next new thing. Whereas when you set your goals, they should be on things that are intangible. And when you're working on intangible goals, it's kind of a paradox. You begin to get tangible things. So if I value spending time with my children, you know, that may require me to work differently so that I can spend time with them and create memories. And as a result of me being intentional when I am working and away from them, you know, I can end up with more clientele, which is making more money. So it's like these characteristics that continue to help you on your journey in life. You're always going to be changing. You know, you should be very fluent in terms of, I look at my kids and their growth. You know, they start out in elementary, then they move to middle school and high school, and there's always these life changes that affect them. And so that's the same thing with us as adults. You know, you change careers. Sometimes you have death in the family, or you move to a different location. You're always in a situation where you should be flexible to adjust to life changes. And those characteristics that you build up within yourself are the things that help you tackle all those obstacles successfully. So I think one of the things that people should be mindful of at first is coming up with intangible things that they could work on. If it's discipline, consistency, because those, any goal that you have in life, not just now, but for the, you know, your whole life journey.
Absolutely. I love what you said about, I've never really thought about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really kind of put it into words, but when you mentioned that if you set intangible goals, it can
mm-hmm.
lead to tangible results, tangible benefits.
Mm-hmm.
One example for me and my business, I've really had this summer, to be exact, I really wanted to, my kids are, one is going into middle school, and my little girl is going to be, seventh grade. She's going to be seventh grade this coming year. And it was really, and then I had one who graduated last year. He's going to be 19 in September. And
mm-hmm.
I really, really wanted to make this summer count. And last
mm-hmm.
summer, I ran around, I hustled, I was networking, I teach a lot of workshops around Atlanta, I was just
mm-hmm.
everywhere and really neglecting time with my kids. They were, you know, really, you know, watching more TV than usual and really had a lot of time with me not around because I was
mm-hmm.
so focused on growing my business last summer, but I felt like I was missing out on them and that time. So
right.
this summer, a lot of opportunities I did not go for. And
mm-hmm.
everything now that summer's winding down, now all of that stuff is falling into place for August. So all
mm-hmm.
the workshops that I missed out on, every, you know, new clients that I would have been able to work with, all that stuff is now will be falling into place. It's now falling into place, and I had all of June, I had May with my kids, I've had, you know, up to mid-July, just really focusing on being a mom, which is so important to me. That's why I chose
mm-hmm.
entrepreneurship. And so
mm-hmm.
when I kind of got my mind and my heart prepared for that, it was kind of like
mm-hmm.
the Lord blessed that. He blessed
yes.
and honored my obedience to want to be a mom, which is my number one job, you know.
Yes, and you know, that's really, I encourage people to dream. And, you know, go back and think about, you know, when you were younger, when you were a new mom or newly married, think about those things that you aspire to do and then figure out how you're going to accomplish them. You know, so it's like, you know, during the time that my kids are in school, I work while they're in school. When they're vacationing, I try to set my time available to do something memorable with them during that time. I remember I wanted to be a stay-home mom originally because I wanted to be able to attend my children's field trips. I was the only child. My mom worked, and that was one of the things I dreaded as a kid, was my mom not being able to go to my field trip. So I have to go back and remember, you know, and get perspective. Man, you know, at least I want to go to one field trip for each child. Now, I've got to be kind of, I couldn't be everywhere at every time, but I try to rotate through and either have lunch or do something with each of my kids as individuals, because I remember as an only child, that was something that I longed for. So as long as you kind of keep a balance and remember, you know, what are the things that I want to instill in my children's lives, and what is it that really I aspire to make me happy? You know, just like you said, being a mom, it makes me happy if I'm able to know who their teacher is, know who their classmates are. When they come home and tell me a story, I can put a face to those kids that are in the classroom and know who they're talking about. So you have to figure out, when it comes to your goals, how you can implement a schedule. I know for me, during the week, I get up at 5:30 so that I can have my time for self-development, so that when I wake them up and ready for school, I'm not stressed out, or, you know, I'm able to be the best that I can be, because I realize that I did something that is going to make an impact for me for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that time, that early time, I know, mm-hmm. biblically speaking, you know, it's called the first fruits. And for mm-hmm. me, you know, that devotional time, you know, really pouring into my faith and allowing God to pour into me, mm-hmm. you know, I would love to kind of, you know, start back working out like I used to, first thing in the morning, yeah. all that just, you know, it makes my day so much better, just yeah. to get up early before the kids and before just the stress of life, you know, mm-hmm. hits you. It's just really good to just focus. Now let's mm-hmm. talk about being overwhelmed. I know you having mm-hmm. 15 children, I'm sure you have experienced that feeling of overwhelm. Can you talk mm-hmm. a little bit about that, and how do we work through that? What are some strategies that you use in order to kind of mitigate feeling overwhelmed?
Okay, well, I think that the first thing is really knowing what you can control. We can only control our actions and our reactions. So, you know, you're going to have challenges. Let's say you're an entrepreneur, you set up a safeguard for your business, but things are going to happen. You know, I choose every day to be happy, you know, to be excited, to add value wherever I go. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to experience death in my family, or someone's going to be sick, or we're going to have, you know, I can be late to an appointment because I got caught by a train. So we're going to have these experiences. But just having the time to reflect and know there are things that you can control and things that you can't. So, you know, me, I come from a Christian faith and background, and so I think that everything is done with a purpose in mind. Nothing is a coincidence or accident. So when challenges and obstacles come, you know, I take the time to breathe, stop, and focus. Think about, you know, what is the message that God is trying to send me right now? You know, because sometimes we can get so caught up in a schedule and a routine that we miss out on some things, and God wants to get our attention. So if I'm caught by a train, you know, you can use that time to, you know, talk to the customer or client, whoever you're meeting, let them know you're running behind, and use that time to build yourself back up. I listen to a lot of podcasts, pray, meditate. You can do other things that will kind of project you and keep the momentum in a positive way, because, you know, when we have thoughts, our thoughts control our actions. So if we have the mindset that this is going to be bad, oh, I'm running late, you know, it's just like this negative spiral that continues to go downward. But if you're saying, you know, hey, things happen for a reason, I don't know what this is about, let me continue to self-develop, or let me get past this situation that I have to go through and figure out how I'm going to be even better. If you're running late, maybe you want to stop and get a cup of coffee and bring one to your client. you know, to go the extra mile, do something different. You know, don't let it be a trigger for a negative downward spiral like it normally could be when we have these things occur.
Yes, awesome tips. Awesome. Now, do you have what three nuggets or takeaways that you can share with our listeners?
Okay, the first thing I would say is know your own voice. That is just so important. So you want to eliminate the voices of society. Sometimes we're at the checkout. We have magazines of what a mom should look like, what a woman should look like, what an entrepreneur should look like. And so you have to kind of back away, focus on the things that you value and matter to you, and what your true goals are. Create a vision board, something that you see every day, or your own affirmation. That's important too. You know, I know I have one that I live in abundance. I'm blessed. I add value wherever I go. So it doesn't have to be something, you know, just whatever is making you have the desire to get out of bed every day. You know, something that you feel that you can accomplish that kind of moves you forward. Another thing is being patient with your results. So if I want to be an entrepreneur, it's good to get around people that are experts in that field. However, I have to be patient to realize, you know, you don't plant a seed and then reap a harvest the next day. You want to get around like-minded people that are aspiring to be where you are, that can give you the tools that you need in order to keep on your journey until you get to where you reap that harvest. They can help you know what the pitfalls are so that you can avoid a lot of mistakes, and also they can keep you in a frame of mind that breeds creativity so that you can come up with something new that and innovative that can help you on your lot in life. And then the last thing is to add value to others. As you learn something or you overcome something, share it with other people. It's very rewarding and therapeutic, and it also creates value to people, and that's a way that you can earn additional income. People will pay for things that is valuable to them. Time saves them a pitfall or some kind of failure. They're going to pay for that. So remember that, you know, the time that you spend into your craft, you know, you can add value to others. So be valuable.
Awesome. This was wonderful, Michelle. I am sure that our listeners, they'll be able to take all of this information and prioritize better, set bigger goals, and really navigate through that feeling that we all have of being overwhelmed at times. Where can our listeners find you online so they can get more of this great information?
Actually, I'm on Facebook, and I'm also on LinkedIn. The name of the company that I do my work under currently is Protocol Group Inc. So you can find me underneath those handles. I think we're also on Twitter as well. You also can call me or text me. My number is 706-580-9831. Right now I'm doing a little rebranding. I'm working on a book right now, and I hope to have that out early fall. So you can pretty much find me that way, or even through just Michelle Atkins. I have a Facebook page there as well.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. We are so grateful to have you, and we wish you so much luck, especially with the book and everything else you have going on.
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate your audience. I love your tagline, Up to Me, because I really feel that we need to be empowered to take responsibility in our success. It's up to us. So we have to
Absolutely.
Find the things that are going to challenge us and move us in the direction where we're headed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now to our listeners, I want to hear from you. What do you think?
Are you planning on prioritizing your time better? Are you planning on setting even bigger goals? Let me know. Please send your feedback in my conversation with Lachelle Atkins. You can email me at brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, we do have an Ask Shantha segment of our show where listeners send in questions about social media marketing, which is my expertise. Today on our Ask Shantha segment, I have a few tips on using hashtags. I think I get a lot of questions, maybe aside from Facebook marketing. This is probably number two of the one of the top asked questions, especially when I teach workshops on digital marketing. People are still a little confused about hashtags, when to use them, where to use them. Hashtags have part of our culture today. It's rare to find anyone who doesn't know what they are, but it's kind of confusing on how to use them and when to use them. So if you don't know, a hashtag is sort of like the pound symbol that we use or the number symbol that we use. It was first recognized and added to the Oxford Dictionary in 2010, and then Scrabble actually added it to their dictionary in 2014. Hashtags are can be used on popular social media sites. A lot of people just think it's for Instagram alone, but you can use hashtags on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Pinterest, as well as in Instagram. It's likely the most popular means of categorizing content on social media. What a hashtag does is it makes your own content discoverable and allows you to find relevant content from other people and businesses. So if you hashtag a particular word, that word will be discoverable when people are doing a search for that type of content. It allows you to connect with and engage other social media users based on a common theme or interest. So knowing how to use hashtags is fundamental to your success on social media. One of the best practices that I do when I'm managing social media for my clients is I'm very specific when I use hashtags. I try to hone in on a certain word or a specific theme. The more specific you can get with your hashtag, the more targeted your audience will be. And a targeted audience generally means better engagement. If you don't have your own business hashtag, you can find one or two existing ones that really fit your photo. So, for example, if your business sells baby products, instead of using hashtag parents, resulting in parents of children of all ages, opt for hashtag new mom. The hashtag new mom is specific to mothers of newborns, which is your target customer. It helps you not have a huge catch-all net when trying to attract people to your content online. Another tip is you want to cater hashtags to your social network that you're using. Hashtags on all social networks have the same purpose of content tagging and discovery. The use of hashtags still varies by network. So hashtags on photo and video sharing platforms are often more focused on descriptions of the content. That is at odds with Twitter, where hashtags tend to be more focused on a topic of conversation or a group of people, like maybe there's a chat going on that you would like to engage in. Before using hashtags, do research on the proper way to use them for that particular network. Most networks will have guides for hashtag selections, and so Twitter has its own guide, and then Instagram has a guide that you can refer to on how to use hashtags on that particular platform. And then the last tip I have for you is you want to come up with relevant unbranded hashtags. Brand hashtags don't have to mention your brand name, but they should represent your brand and what you stand for. So if you are a tourism company, you can use maybe hashtag Explore Atlanta, anything like that kind of
resonates with what your business is all about can really help with branding that hashtag. So that's what I have today in during the Ask Shanta segment. Again, if you have any questions about digital marketing, send them to brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. I would be more than happy to answer any of your questions. Now listen, don't forget to check the Up to Me Radio Facebook page for show updates. You can also check out our show on Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes, and you can find out how to reach me directly. You can visit my website at competitivebrand.com. Thank you so much for listening. You could have been anywhere in the whole world, but you have decided to spend your time here with me today, and I truly appreciate you for that. Have a great one.